It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 192 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Frederick Wiedemann returns, the scorer of Green Lantern the Animated Series, and he's been up to good things, including Justice League Gods and Monsters, which he provides the score for. That recently released direct-to-DVD or Blu-ray movie is really great, and done by Bruce Timm, of course, and this reunites him with Bruce after Green Lantern the Animated Series. And we talk about what was different this time around, because Freddie's been doing a lot of different DC movie scores, and he does a great job on them, in my opinion. We talk a lot about what's changed and what kinds of things happen when you put together a score like this. And a lot of other discussion, too, about music, which I always have fun talking with him about. I even include a couple of pieces in there that he talks about during the interview. We also talk about what he has coming up in the next few months, including some other great DC stuff, which we'll learn more about in the future. One word of warning, Skype was giving us fits the night that we recorded, and we had to resort to telephone. Sometimes it isn't quite as crisp and clear as I would like it to be, but if you have trouble hearing it, just turn up the volume a little bit. You should be able to get what Freddie's talking about. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome back to the podcast Frederick Wiedemann, the scorer of Green Lantern the Animated Series, and now is a new project out, Justice League Gods and Monsters, with Bruce Timm. Always a good thing to work with Mr. Timm. How are you doing, Freddie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to talk with you again. As I was telling you just a second ago before we started recording, I really loved Green Lantern the Animated Series, and I love the music in it, too, that you did. And I noticed, too, that you had gotten a lot of nominations for awards, which I thought was really cool. Do you remember which ones you were nominated for?
Yeah, the two biggest ones were two Annie Award nominations consecutively. And I got beaten twice by other shows, but I felt very honored to be nominated in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially for a show that not many people knew at this time.
Because mm-hmm. you were nominated for, in 2012, looks like it was music and a television production.
Correct, yeah.
And then 2013.
In both years, actually.
Yeah, 2013 was music in an animated television or other broadcast venue production.
Right. Yeah, I think I just renamed it, but it's essentially the same category.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Yeah. But I did notice, too, you also got in 2012 a nomination for an International Film Music Critics Award.
Yes, that too. Correct. Yeah, they were kind enough to put me up for that, too.
That's great.
Film music critics all around the world, they've created this group, and they vote every year on what they think was the best. And yeah, it's great to be nominated amongst people like that as well.
Well, you did great, because I love that show. To this day, I still pull out my Green Lantern every once in a while and watch it, because the music was terrific.
That's great.
It was just such a wonderful thing, and I wish it had gone on. But, you know, I think that this one, and you also did scoring for Beware the Batman, too.
Correct, yeah.
And I think that what happened was, unfortunately, is that Cartoon Network has kind of shifted directions. Right around that time, they went towards a younger audience instead of something that would appeal all ages.
Yes, I think Beware the Batman was a bit of a tough sell, especially when they were having that kind of a conceptual change in the programming. Mm-hmm. It was very dark, and they put it in a time slot for little kids, and of course, then that's predestined to not do very well, in my opinion. I think it could have been really well on Adult Swim or something like that.
Yeah, I wish it was another channel. I wish there was like a superhero channel where all these good things could have a home. And
you know, that's what my wife said the other day, because I told her, I said, like, look, I don't think these DTV movies, they play anywhere on TV ever, and they're so great. And then she's like, yes, somebody should make a channel with just movies like this and shows.
Oh, I agree.
That would be great.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
Here's an idea. Let's put it out there.
Yeah. See if we can get someone to nibble on this one. But now, we were talking a little bit about the fact that this opened the door for you, because I was looking through your IMDb credits. And man, you've been busy with DC doing these direct-to-video things that you've been up to. Because as I look, I see you start out with Justice League, the Flashpoint Paradox, which was a great thing. You also did JLA Adventures, Trapped in Time, Son of Batman. And then we mentioned Beware the Batman too, but you had done like Batman versus Robin, and now you're doing the Justice League Gods and Monsters. There was like a little mini series, it was a series of chronicles, and now the video came out, in which I got a chance to see, and I really loved it. I thought it was just, again, your scoring to me is always, it has a feel like a feature film, as we talked
about. Good, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. That's,
and it was
good that you say that.
Such a cool thing, and of course, this Justice League movie has got a very different feel to it than, say, the other ones do. Because you talk about darker, this is a much darker Justice League. So, very cool. So, why don't we talk about Justice League Gods and Monsters? Did Mr. Tim request your services again after all the good things you've done with him?
Yes. Yeah, he, as far as I was told, he did request me to do this. I got the call. And obviously, I was more than happy to say yes to this wonderful opportunity. Because, you know, the last time I had worked with him was on Green Lantern. And it was such a good vibe with him to work on a project like this. Because he's so into music. He loves scoring and he loves melodies. He loves big sounds. And he loves music to support picture in a very big way. And a lot of people out there, they have a tendency to go more minimalistic and understating things and do less and less and less and more ambient and things like that. And he's very much like, oh, big, when you need to be big, go small. He really loves music, and it's a very good place for a composer to be, to work with someone who's really appreciative of what you can add to the picture.
Yeah,
so I was very happy to be working with him again.
Yeah, it's just now out, so I encourage people to pick it up because it's a very good story. I hope we get to see more of this in the future, actually, because I really loved the movie. I thought it was really terrific.
Yeah, good. Well, I think I don't know what their plans are, but I think this is kind of a test. You know, they want to see how do people respond to this new approach. And if it does well, you know that they will do something else like that, because they wouldn't just waste that opportunity. So hopefully people out there dig it and will want more. Mm-hmm. And I think Warner Brothers will respond accordingly.
See, it's kind of interesting because not only did you do the video, but there were these little mini movies that were done. And also there was a series of comics. They did one for each of the characters, and they did sort of a group comic of them, which was digital first and is now coming out in paper. You know, this has been kind of a big deal as far as things go. And maybe for people who don't know, Gods and Monsters is actually about a very darker Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And I have to say that the very beginning, particularly, I loved your score, for it starts out with the origin of Superman doesn't quite go the way we're used to it. And the way you did the music, I thought was really great. It was dynamic. And then you go into the title music as well. And I really enjoyed it real well. I was just like, wow, it set the tone for the whole rest of the movie, I thought. Just terrific.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks very much.
It was just such an interesting thing to see. And, you know, the last time I talked with you about Green Lantern, I was asking what kinds of things were you trying to accomplish musically? And did you do something differently with this one, too? Because it felt like it was a little bigger than the Green Lantern was. Even as big as that was, this one felt a little larger than that. Were you trying to accomplish that kind of a thing with the score for this movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the big difference is the Green Lantern is kind of an epic space adventure with a lot of mystery and space awe and things, you know, very awe-inspiring moments, big spaceship battles. So it's got this kind of Star Wars aura. And Gods and Monsters, it was a very real story to me. When I watched it for the first time, it looked very much like it could happen today in our time. You know, it felt very contemporary. And I think the music needed to match that environment. So Bruce and I had this discussion, and his initial instinct was immediately, Freddie, we need to go with something slightly less classical and a little bit more out there and daring. So feel free to use some electronics where you feel fit. And in fact, we did try to score a couple of the earlier action sequences with very little orchestral elements, just to see how far can we push this, staying away from the orchestra idea. And we, you know, we found out it doesn't quite work. We need a little bit more momentum and thematic material to get us through it in a good way. So we adjusted accordingly. But we really tried in some of these pieces to really pull back on the orchestra and the strings and just let some interesting new sounds come out and be featured and be heard and sort of set a different vibe and a different mood than we're used to. did previously called Justice League Throne of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very different ballgame because a lot of the movie takes place underwater in Atlantis, and it's very beautifully animated and kind of magical. So there's this whole score versus Gods and Monsters. So Bruce and I immediately discussed that we needed to approach this one a little bit differently. And we really tried hard in the beginning process to stay away from classical, traditional orchestral sound.
Mm-hmm.
And we really tried to push that boundary. And we went as far as scoring some of the earlier action sequences with very little orchestral elements and really just a lot of heavy percussion and synthesizers. Mm-hmm. And it kind of didn't feel quite right. So we added a lot of orchestral elements and pop just to give it more of a Justice League vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But we really tried to push the envelope on that. And so you'll hear a lot of pieces, like I think when in the beginning when they find Superman capsule, it's a very ambient score. Even when they find the baby, there's nothing emotional in there. There's no strings, there's no flutes, anything like that. It's just kind of, it's a very otherworldly, dark palette that kind of sets up the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, the really dark backstory of all our superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, you were mentioning that this was different from Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah, Throne of Atlantis was the Justice League movie I did previously, and that one required a lot more magic and mystery because a lot of the time it takes place underwater
mm-hmm.
in Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
and it was such a beautifully animated movie, very magical with water and colors. So the score was a very classical, orchestral, and melodic score.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Justice League Gods and Monsters is a lot more on the electronic, dark side.
You know, I noticed too, though, as I was listening to the score, that you use vocalization a lot more this time too. You like choir.
Yeah, there's some, the choir, you mean, right?
Yeah.
There are some choir moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a nice color to add, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the budget to record it live, so we had to fake it. So I always do what I can, and I use it in places where it feels like it doesn't stand out. There's a wrong sound,
mm-hmm.
hopefully.
Mm-hmm. You know, the old story was that when Mr. Tim did the Mask of the Phantasm, I think it was the movie, they actually sang their names backwards, and when they did the title music, if you listen to it, if you could play it backwards, sometimes you'd hear like Bruce Timm's name and Paul Dini's and all these names all going backwards.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I didn't know that. That's great.
That was
what
the word.
What a cool idea.
So it was kind of funny to hear it. As I was listening to it, I said, those names, that sound familiar, but what are they? And I read somewhere that they had done that with, I thought was funny. I thought it was a great way to do that. But
that's awesome. Yeah, he's a very creative guy. I mean, it's so much fun to work with him because he's got fantastic ideas that really go to a new place, and he's giving you enough creative freedom that you feel like you can experiment yourself and go out of yourself a little bit and try to break your own rules. I think that's a really good place to be for a composer or any creative person working for him.
Very cool. So one thing I wanted to ask, too, was that, you know, when you did Green Lantern, you had not done a lot of superhero stuff at that point. But now that you've done several now, is the process different for you as a creator coming up with music for these now? Because each one has a different, you provide different music, which I like them all, by the way. If I like the music, I look to see who did it, and I usually see your name in there, so I'm really happy about that. But as far as making the process, you know, is doing it differently now, is it different for you now? Are there different ways that you have to come up with music since you've done several of these?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's interesting. I never actually thought about that. What it is like for me now versus when I started doing it. The only thing that's really different is that it's a little bit easier for me, you know, because, and I think it's a matter of confidence because I've done, I don't know, almost close to 550 minutes of Green Lantern music, which quite literally every minute of it is original. There hasn't been anything that's been reused from another episode, which in TV happens quite a bit, you know, where they recycle music from another episode.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it wasn't possible. It was just all through composed. So after close to 600 minutes of Green Lantern music, I just kind of got my chops down to a place where it's become very, very fluent and effortless for me to create something that will work. And I wouldn't say it's better than back then, because I still think my Green Lantern stuff is great, even though it was my first project in that respect. I still think I would have done it similarly today. Mm-hmm. But I think I can do it faster now and with a lot more confidence. And maybe that enables me to try new things in a way that I wouldn't dare when I'm just starting out to do this. You know, like, I'm kind of glad that Gods and Monsters came along after I had done a couple of these, because now I kind of knew, okay, this is that terrain, and now I can really try to figure out what else can I try that'll still work and still feel like a Justice League movie, but maybe push the boundaries a little bit into either direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just wonderful stuff. I don't want to spoil any parts of the movie, but there's a part which explains why Becca left. We all know that she's from, like, Apocalypse or that region, the New Gods area, and how she came to leave there. I was listening to the score of that particularly, and I thought that was really poignant, the way you had written that. I just thought that was terrific, and I, you know, would never, ever spoil any of that stuff out there, but you made it so that I really felt what was going on in that sequence, and I thought that was terrific.
Great. Well, thank you. That was one of my favorite scenes, too. And, you know, quite frankly, I think this one is actually the most classical scene in terms of music. It's pretty much got the full orchestra going with horns and trumpets and strings and a big theme. Mm-hmm. And also some more ancient instruments. I think you're hearing some dulcimers and an Armenian duduk, just to kind of give it this otherworldly feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments, too. It's just a very emotional, tragic backstory that needed some really heavy sad music.
See, it was so different from the Superman part. The Superman part, the beginning anyway, when the stuff was going on with his origin being changed, it was a lot more action-oriented, and hers was a lot sadder sequence.
Yeah.
So I like the way that you put a lot of variety into the music, and I just think that what it does is it keeps us as viewers really glued to the screen and listening to, engaged completely in the movie the way that was done, because I, you know, all three characters, clearly the music represents the differences between the characters.
Good.
Which I really like.
One of the goals we had to try to do. I'm glad you say that.
I like that because, you know, Batman being a vampire in this movie, and that's public knowledge. And I liked the way you handled his music was kind of different, too. Some of the music almost reminded me a little bit of other Batman music, but not very closely. It was in the sort of the same tone, but not the same kinds of melody in it.
Yeah. Yeah. This music is at times almost like a villain in a strange way, like a broken villain trying to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of the idea. Like, how do you make Batman not be da-da-da-da, you know, Benny Elfman or Hans Zimmer Batman, but more of the, he's really messed up, and he's got this big issue, which is him being a vampire. Mm-hmm. But he's still a vigilante. He's still a good person trying to do good things. Mm-hmm. But he's got this incredible, horrific, monster side inside of him.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we get to see, and those of us who are fans of the comics, we get to see several characters, Lex Luthor and some other ones I won't spoil by mentioning. But the great thing about it, too, and I think your score really helps, too, was that there's a big old surprise at the end. There's a certain way we kind of expect this to go, and Mr. Tim, of course, never goes that way, and he goes a very different direction, and I thought your music really accentuated that. There's this one place where I was just certain this was going to be the wrap-up, and we're teased along, and your music makes it feel like it's that way, and suddenly it's not. And so you guys did a wonderful job of surprising me. I remember just sitting there going, oh, it's not that way? Oh, okay.
Good. We sold the twist to you. That's good.
That's always
a good thing.
I really enjoyed that. So, see, I've read comics and I've watched movies and stuff for a long time now. So, for me, if I'm surprised, that's a terrific accomplishment.
That's good. Yes. So you're an experienced one.
Yeah, I loved it. So, the whole business to me was just, it tied the characters well. The music really pulled everything through, all of us moving along, you know, and it matched the animation too. It had a real dynamic feel to it most of the time, action and important things are going on kind of a feel, which I think that, you know, a movie like that, particularly an animated movie, you've got to keep us interested, you know, on every level you can. And I just thought your score did a great job of making us, you know, invested in what was happening. I completely forgot where I was, you know, watching the movie, and I loved that.
Good. That's good. These are all good things. These are all things that I'm trying to do as I'm working. Some of them subconsciously, but that's all good to hear.
Very good, very good. Well, I really loved it. I hope we get to see more of this. Even if you guys do little shorts occasionally, it would be fun to have a look
yeah,
at.
Yeah, those were cool, right? I thought that was a great idea. And I was really amazed by how much story you can fit into a 5-minute little thing, especially the Superman one. I thought that was great with Brainiac.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was like very sad.
It's great, great stuff. I really like that. And having Superman be so different and your music kind of reflecting that was, to me, a great thing. Because, you know, Superman's usually very triumphant, you know, marching music. And yours was a very sad feel to it and very almost a like, I keep using the word dark, but the dark was the tone that I came away with from it. I mean, of course, he's a very dark character here.
Absolutely.
You know, I love the music. I always want to ask and I always want to find out somehow if they're ever going to release music collections of the stuff you've done on the DC.
Yes, actually, this one specifically is coming out on August 11th, and we've actually included the Superman short music on the CD, too. So you get the full score from the movie and then the Superman short extra on the disc.
Oh, good. Oh, man, I'm going to have to be after that. I can't wait for that. Is that going to be like, do you know, is that coming out like on iTunes or are you about to buy the disc?
It's actually La La Land Records is doing the physical release. So if you go to lalalandrecords.com, after August 11th, you can order it. Mm-hmm. And I think the first 100 people ordering, they get a signed copy. Like, I signed 100 booklets for them, so they can, you know, the first 100 will get an autographed CD, which is kind of cool.
Oh, I'll have to be after
that. And, yeah, if you're one of the first ones to order, that should be easy to get.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I think that bonus track from the Superman short is only on the physical disc. If you get it on iTunes, which will be released, I believe, a little bit later, then that track won't be on that. They do that to make people buy the physical. They put a little bonus on there. So if you want that Superman track, you have to get the actual CD.
Okay, I've got to get the disc then. I'll have to get the physical disc.
Yeah, me too. I like physicals. Especially, I love autographed ones too. So I have a bunch of them myself.
Very, very cool.
I think that's always fun.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get that because I really got to do that, get those things because I wish they would release more of your music from the different videos that you've done.
Well, we have a bunch of them. I mean, Throne of Atlantis is out.
Oh, it is?
That's out, and Son of Batman is out, and Flashpoint Paradox is out.
Oh, man.
Green Lantern has 2 CDs.
Oh, I've been missing all this stuff. Man, I was hoping this is out. Man, I'm going to have to go after it.
You should go to the La La Land Records website and you go to the DC. They have a DC tab and you see all the DC CDs and there's a bunch of mine there. You can check them out there. Some of them are up on iTunes as well.
I have to get them. I can't believe I haven't found these. I every once in a while I look for them, but I haven't come across them. Maybe maybe iTunes doesn't like me for some reason. I don't know. But I'm gonna.
What I also wanted to mention to you, there's something. If you're interested in this kind of DC music, if you buy the Throne of Atlantis movie on iTunes, or if you have the Blu-ray DVD, I don't know if you have either of them, but in the extra features, there's a 35-minute documentary on how we made the score. You can see the orchestra and the conductor and everything. It's really cool.
I haven't seen that. I'm going to have to see that.
Yeah, that's really fun. So you should check that out. You can see me and my wife conducting and my whole team in the studio. And, you know, we talk about the process and the instruments we're using. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I think the Blu-ray or the iTunes download.
Okay. I will definitely track that stuff. I can't believe I miss all this stuff, man. You're going to have to get some more of my money is what's going to have to happen here.
Yeah. Well, I don't get much from, I mean, the CDs, it's pennies, but the DVDs, I don't get anything. I'm sure it all goes into the next DC movie, so it goes into a good cause if you want to look at it that way.
That's good.
You may be financing the next Gods and Monster franchise.
Okay, that'll be good. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
So, as always, we talked before about the fact that you like to do different kinds of music, you know, different scoring and different kinds of music in them. And I've noticed as I looked on your IMDb things that you've got a lot of projects going on. They're very different kinds of tales. You've got a documentary in there. You've got TV series with several episodes in it, Miles from Tomorrowland and Old Hill King Julian. So you're doing continuing to do a lot of variety when it comes to music.
Yeah, and it's great that way. I started out doing horror movies exclusively back in 2007, and I was getting worried that at some point I'll be pigeonholed as the horror guy, and that's all I'll be doing. And then suddenly it just opened up, and people came with different projects through my door, and it's just been an amazing experience to be able to do so many different things and people trusting me to be able to do it. You know, Bruce Timm and Giancarlo Waltz on Green Lantern, they looked at my credits and they were like, we have no idea if this guy is any good, if he can do superhero, or if he can even do TV. Mm-hmm. All they knew is they liked the demo I did for them. Mm-hmm. But with my credits, they really didn't know if I'm up for the job, because they had no confidence in that I'm able to pull it off every week and deliver and mm-hmm. do the whole thing. So I had to prove myself to them mm-hmm. quite a bit. But thankfully, there's a lot of people out there that give me that chance. And once they do, they usually leave happy. So yeah, it's been great. You know, I continue with the superhero stuff for DC, which is a blast. Mm-hmm. Then I'm doing this show, Miles from Tomorrowland, for Disney, which is a more younger audience, mm-hmm. kids space adventure, super mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. I really love that show. Mm-hmm. And All Hail King Julian is a spin-off of Madagascar. That's for DreamWorks Animation.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's for Netflix mm-hmm. only, and it's really fun too. It's a mm-hmm. totally hilarious show. It's fun for little kids and also fun for adults, if you know what I mean. They put a lot of jokes in there where parents would go, oh, okay. But no 4-year-old would understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of for all ages, I think. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they musically require all such different things, that the documentaries that you mentioned. And yeah, I really enjoy doing different things. I'm so glad that I'm able to do this and that I'm not doing just one thing, because I think it would get boring.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great stuff. Now, do you want to mention a couple of projects that you have coming up? Because I want to keep my ear to the ground, do a better job of making sure I'm following up on your projects than I have been.
Yeah, well, I think I can go as far as saying I have two upcoming DC movies that I can't announce yet because they haven't posted the trailer yet or done any press on them, so I'm not supposed to say anything. But
okay.
There's more superhero DC music coming, put it that way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's good. And then I think the one project that I'm really excited about that just came out on Vimeo only mm-hmm. is a documentary about autism. It was called Spectrum.
Okay.
It was directed by a very good friend of mine, and it was a really interesting documentary about autism looked at differently, basically not as a disease or as a condition, but more as a just different way of looking at things. And it's a very optimistic and positive documentary, and just they're interviewing people with autism that are creators, like a poet and a painter and a martial artist, and they basically explain how autism actually helps them achieve their goals in daily life because they're looking at the world differently.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really interesting project. And we just released the score on iTunes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, a completely different side of mine. It's very much like Alexandre Desplat meets Thomas Newman. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very different new thing that I have never done before, but I had a great time creating it. And I think that's a really interesting project. If anybody out there is touched by the issue of autism in your family or close friends,
mm-hmm.
it's a really good one to watch. It's only 24 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really terrific film, and I think it will put a smile on your face. And the music is great. And all proceeds will go to the Women's Autism Network for the CD and the movie itself. So,
mm-hmm. Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I see, according to IMDb, you've completed a documentary called The Three Hikers.
Yes, that was about the three American hikers that a couple of years ago crossed the border into Iran unknowingly and then got arrested. And they were in prison for almost, I think, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Without a trial, so that was what that was about. It's a really also very gripping story.
Mm. Very cool. Well, boy, you're keeping good things coming, which I really appreciate, because good storytelling, good music, boy, they go hand in hand in my mind, and I think you do a terrific job of it. So
thank you so much.
Keep it up, because I will get onto iTunes or go to lalaland.com and start ordering some stuff right away so I can catch up here. I'm negligent in my duties here. I've got to keep up. So great stuff as always. I hope that Gods and Monsters sells really terrifically well, and I'd like to see more of it. And I'm happy to hear you got two more projects coming. That's got me. I'm going to be watching to see what those projects are when they come out.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure they'll be announced soon.
Soon, okay. Well, I'll keep my ear to the ground this time. I'll be listening and following. So, man, keep it up, Freddie. It's terrific stuff, and
I just think
music that you're doing, it really adds so much to the videos and stuff that I'm watching. So, it's terrific.
Great. Well, it's so nice to hear all of that. It's very encouraging to continue on my path.
Well, thanks so much, and I can't wait. Anyway,
great.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol,
get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Be back next week as we count down to episode number 200. But until then, keep reading your comics.